Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone who yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening and welcome. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, and I'm here this evening speaking to you from Blog Talk Radio, which is a service provided by the New Age Guild. Blog Talk Radio is the place where you can come and do your own podcast, and I'm here to talk about the science of yes. So I'm so glad you're here to listen to me tonight, and I'm going to explain a little bit about how the science of yes works, and I'm going to explain a little bit about what it is and how it can work for you. However, before I do that, I'd like to explain to you how this works. This is a podcast, and I have a lot to offer you with regard to the science of yes. But if you have any questions for me, I am available to you when you can call in and ask me anything you'd like. You're welcome to call in. The number to call in is 760-888-5700. Again, that's 760-888-5700. Now, here's the thing you want to know. When you call in to speak to me, you're going to ask me questions about the science of yes. The science of yes is available to you if you're anyone who believes in or understands at all the law of attraction. The science of yes is very, very much like that. The law of attraction, the way it works is that what you think, the energy you put on your thoughts and your visions and your dreams will come alive. They will come true. They will come to you. And the science of yes is very much like that. How it works is that what you say you want in your life, you can absolutely have it if you're willing to take the actions correlate with you having it. It's, in other words, just wanting it to happen, just wishing for it to happen, just dying for it to happen, but not taking any actions to it. It's like wanting a bowl of rice and not getting a pot of water and rice to cook. You have to take the actions that are correlate with the things that you want in life in order for them to come true. But by the same token, anything that you put your mind to, anything that you want, you can have simply by making it very clear to the universe that you want those things. So, again, if you'd like to ask me any questions or you have any situation in your life that you want to filter through the science of yes, then I'm your go-to guru. You can give me a call again. The number here is 760-888-5700. Love to talk to you, love to support you. I am somebody who believes that you can do anything, you can be anything. It's never too late, it's never too soon. The exact perfect time for you to take it on is right now. Call me up and let me know, what are your dreams? What are your visions? What are your desires? It's the new year. It's only day two of a brand new year, and it's the perfect time to get yourself set up, to get started, and to start to dream out loud what you want life to deliver to you. So again, this is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Give me a call and let's get started. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the science of yes and about my message inside of that. Who I am in life, well, I'm a coach. I'm a life coach and a business coach, and I've been doing this for many, many years. I have a lot of experience in leading transformational programs, and inside of that, as I said before, I am a practitioner of the law of attraction. I'm a single parent, and I live in Southern California. I actually am somebody who, in a past life, must have been a stand-up comic. I'm in love with laughter, and I am happy with life. I like pina coladas, but I don't like to walk in the rain because I don't want to mess up my hair. I guess I could be described as short. I'm 5'5", and I can be cranky with young people when they act like they're scared little chihuahuas around me and don't speak up so I can hear them. Then I say, speak up, and that tends to scare them even more. So I'm a storyteller. Sprinkled aside my methodology of the science of yes, I will share with you my analogies from movies and songs, stories about me, stories about my life, my experiences, and why I created this compelling process to live life from. I can be a little sappy. I cry when I see sentimental movies or TV shows. I mean, I act all gruff and tough, but an episode of Law and Order where the mom gets reunited with her baby, I'll just start bawling like a baby. There's this animated film called The Iron Giant, and it came out several years ago, and there's a bit of a twist at the end, and when it happened, I burst into tears. I know, what a crybaby, right? I'm easily touched, I'm easily inspired, and, you know, I'm just sharing that so you can get to know the messenger. I am the Yes Coach, and my message is the science of yes. And yes, I am very, very easily moved and sentimental. So it's important, you know, for you to get to know the messenger, and I am the messenger. I have one son. His name is Anthony. He's 30. He's an aspiring music producer. And what else do you want to know about me? I said I was a single parent. What I do for a living is I'm a coach, and I'm a proud grandmother. I have a son, Anthony. He has a 6-year-old daughter named Gabby. I also have a play son. Many of you can relate. I have a young man who grew up with my son, and he calls him his brother, and he calls me his mom. I am not his mother, but I practically raised him, and he has a daughter, and I get to call her granddaughter, and she calls me grandma. Her name is Zoe, and she's 1 year old. She's a Thanksgiving baby. And I am the Yes Coach. I teach people how to build and create compelling, extraordinary lives. And if they'd like, I teach them how to start and grow a business, which is my thing too. I believe that everyone should appreciate and experience the opportunity to own their own business and be their own boss. That may sound a little complicated, though, but it's not. I realize that we need people to drive the trains and sell the donuts and coffee and run the post office. I mean, who would do that if everybody was their own boss? But as I said before, it's my thing, and it's not complicated at all. Being an entrepreneur with their own business isn't for everyone. However, anyone can own and run their own business. Now, that might sound complicated, but it's not. Said another way, you can own and successfully run your own business. However, you have to want it. It can't be forced onto you, like if you inherit your family business, unless you love and want to run your family business, because it will have you be miserable and unhappy, and I'm all about you being happy and fulfilled. That's my thing too. So we'll get all into that as the weeks unfold. This is a weekly program, except for next week. I will not be here on Thursday night next week, but on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, we will be talking about the science of yes. It's I'm on the east, on the west coast, so on the east coast, it's at 10 p.m. So if you're staying up late to hang out with me, I appreciate you. And if you're listening to the broadcast later, and you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to click on the like button in Blog Talk Radio. This is basically, you know, like social media where you like and comment on posts that you enjoy. If you like this broadcast, if you like what you hear, then you let them know at Blog Talk Radio that you like this and click it as a favorite, and they will see it and promote it more so. So I appreciate you, and I hope that you will appreciate me. A little more about me. I love to sing karaoke. I love lip-sync battles, movies, science fiction and fantasy, horror. I love to read fiction and nonfiction, and I play video games. Yes, I am a gamer. I belong to alliances and guilds, and I have friends in England, Australia, and Canada who I've played with for years and never met. I realize that, having said all that some people might listen to this and think, what a wackadoodle. I get that. I can imagine not everyone who meets me or hears me can relate to me. That's okay. It really isn't important what I'm up to and who I am. I'm the messenger, and the messenger is choose yes. So if I'm not your coach, that's okay with me. Find the person who you resonate with, who provides what you need. Take what you need and pay it forward. Whether you despise me or not, or admire me or not, it's irrelevant. Does this message contribute to you? Can you let it source you? Then go for it. Be sourced. Be empowered. Who cares if I play World of Warcraft? I am the messenger, and the message is yes. So in life, I'm one of life's little cheerleaders. I base my process on the principle that anything is possible if you're willing to say yes. Yes, coaching is what evolved into the science of yes. So I provide strategies, coaching, and support for a life fueled by your unending passion. So by saying yes, you expand your capacity to have anything you're willing to say you want. Hence, say yes is my tagline. Say yes is my brand. Say yes is what I'm about. It's not too late, no matter how old you are. It's never too late. And I don't care how young you are either. Say yes. Timing is always perfect, and everything happens for a reason. So if you're here now listening to this broadcast, whether you're listening live or you're listening to a recording afterwards, say yes. So listening to this, stumbling onto this, if you found it in iTunes, checking it out, you must be a little bit intrigued about the whole concept of saying yes. Well, guess what? I appreciate that you are kind of intrigued about this. And that's basically, that's it in a nutshell. Say yes. Go right ahead. Do it. So now what? How do you make the science of yes work for you in your life? Is the science of yes positive thinking? Is that how it works? No. The science of yes is not positive thinking. Okay, don't argue with me. Be coachable. You may not be a positive thinker. You might not be one of life's little cheerleaders like I am. You can still say yes. It's okay. You know, I am a positive kind of gal. I'm bursting with optimism. It's who I am. I've always been this way. Everyone that knows me knows that about me. My feelings tell me that the glass is half full every time, and that every cloud has a silver lining. You know, my intention is not to create little mini-me's all around. When you take on the science of yes, you don't necessarily have to have a positive attitude like I do. I mean, you don't. I do recommend it. I recommend a positive attitude. Life occurs in a whole different ball of wax when you're positive. When you greet and meet life halfway with a smile on your face and open to receive. But just so that you're clear, you don't have to. I've always been a very positive person in life. But before I distinguished the science of yes, I didn't truly fully understand how to leverage my optimism to get the things I wanted in life. So sometimes things seem to work out for me or manifest for me almost like magic, like outside of me and not created by me at all. I mean, I couldn't understand why other people who weren't positive could produce better, sustainable results than I could. Sometimes when I was experiencing difficult times or tragedy, I couldn't seem to move through them effectively with just my positivity and optimism. It was when I was going through a very significant personal tragedy, which was the death of my daughter, Alvesta, at the age of 30. In 2007, I plunged into a devastating tailspin. My daughter, Alvesta, committed suicide, and I was blindsided. In the same time frame, I actually lost my job that I'd been at for 17 years. I lost my dream home due to foreclosure. They repossessed my car. I pretty much lost everything. I lost it all. 2 years of my life passed with me just treading water. Really, I'm not kidding. I moved in with my mom and my grandmother, who lived together, and I stayed in bed for days and weeks at a time. I did nothing. I lived like that for 2 years. That was how my grief manifested itself over my daughter's death. Then I woke up from that zombie-like state, and it'd been 2 years, and I was alive and existing only, no feeling, no wanting, just breathing. And I didn't have a car. I didn't need a bus fare to get anywhere if I wanted to because I wasn't working. I had nothing. So I pulled myself up by my shoestrings because my grandmother told me it was time for me to move out. And I realized I couldn't just sit there in her home and do nothing. For 2 years, that's what I did. And 2 years was long enough. She said, you got to go. So I went out and I got a job. And okay, it wasn't just like that. Because when my daughter died in 2007, the economy was in one place. But when I came back to life and went out job hunting, it was 2009. And the country was in a recession. And jobs were hard to come by. There was some really, really difficult things going on. And it was brutal. For the first time in my life since I got my very first job at the age of 16, I was having difficulty finding work. I had been managing a law firm running with a staff of 8 people. Now I had to take a job as an administrative assistant, which was an entry-level job, and I was lucky to get that job. So many people were out of work at that time, and it took me weeks just to find that job. I needed a job so I could move into my own home, get a car, get my life together. So I ended up working for minimum wage at a small film production company. And I stepped into my position, and then immediately they began to feel the change. At the time that I joined them, they had 19 employees and were making small budget films to the tune of maybe $200,000, $250,000. Within 6 months, they had grown to 83 employees, 2 shifts, and they took on their first film with a $2 million budget. I now was their operations manager, and all of these changes happened in 6 months. And it was then that I realized something about myself and what I provide. I empower people to do what they want to do. I say yes, and I got them to say yes. And a yes environment offers power to whoever wants to tap into it. And that insight, back in 2011, began a journey for me which ultimately had me leave my job and start my own business, which I originally called Yes Coaching. And then when I incorporated, I called it Strategic Yes Training. I then began to implement the tools and techniques I had developed over the years and started to teach them to others. I began to transform my life, and I started on the journey to the science of yes. And it didn't happen overnight. It took 5 years for my process of coaching to formulate. And during that time, I was couch surfing, riding public transportation, eating fast food, and struggling my way to success. And my life began to expand in incredible ways. Now, I'm paying it forward. I'm giving that away to you and to everybody who wants it. I wrote a book. It's about to be published. It's called Say Yes. And in that book, I'm contributing to the world my philosophy of the science of yes. The science of yes is powerful. The science of yes is what gives you access to a powerful way to interact with life, with the universe. I'm not a psychic. I don't do readings, but you'll be amazed how I can support and guide you. You can contact me if you want life, career, even romance guidance. You can call at 760-888-5700. That's 760-888-5700. And we can talk. We can talk about you and how you can use the science of yes to have things at work, things at home, things in your life go your way. as long as you're open to receive, you can have anything you want, anything at all. It's not complicated. The science of yes is not just about dealing with the obstacles and the challenges that life offers. It's also about fulfilling the incredible opportunities and dreams that you have. And perhaps you've been thinking about tackling your bucket list, returning to school, getting that degree. Or you may want to travel to Italy to see the Sistine Chapel, or to Rome to visit the Vatican. Maybe you want to start that book, rent that Airbnb and experience luxury on a beachfront property. Maybe you want to start a business. What are your dreams? It's the new year, the perfect time to create dreams, visions, hopes for the future. Maybe you have already everything that money can buy, but you know what? You might sense that there is still something missing. Something emotional, maybe, something unfulfilled. Do you deal with self-esteem issues and perhaps concerns, worries, or fears that block your higher energy source and keep you grounded? And sadness and melancholy. Life doesn't seem like a box of chocolates at all for you. Life occurs for you complicated and unsettling. With the science of yes, you'll approach opportunities in a powerful, positive mindset that has you be excited about life like a kid in a candy store and taking the actions that will fulfill on your dreams. Taking action steps, that's the difference. And that's why I say it's more than positive thinking. It's action-oriented. The science of yes is all about inquiring into what you want in life and then taking the actions that correlate with those wants and navigating safely through the obstacles and roadblocks that will inevitably arise as you make your way to these goals. And that's the process in a nutshell. It really is simple. The science of yes is going to require that you retrain your mind to be open to receive a different creative way of living life that will energize you and teach you to redirect your thoughts, to tap into your creativity, and to get you in motion and keep you in motion in positive, productive ways. Yes is a mindset. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. That mindset coupled with action will lead you to your dreams. I invite you to embrace it and be a yes. When you live your life inside of yes, you will be creating positive energy for you, for your environment, and everyone around you. That is what's available. So I invite you to take on the science of yes. So I often teach my clients through movie analogies and musical quotes. So you just have to get used to it. It's the way I am. So, one of my favorites is the genie from the Disney animated motion picture, Aladdin. Have you seen it? I realize that there is a live-action movie out now starring Will Smith, but I haven't seen that one yet. If they're singing the same songs as the current, you know, animated film, I just want you to know I refer to the animated film. In that film, when Aladdin first finds and he rubs the lamp, and releases the genie. The genie, who is played by Robin Williams, it's his voice and his singing, explains to him that he will grant him 3 wishes. When Aladdin seems confused, Robin Williams, as the voice of the genie, sings the song, "You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me." Now, I won't include all the lyrics of the song, and I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't want you to hang up on, you know, frustrated, but essentially, what it comes down to is that Aladdin wanted, the genie wanted Aladdin to know that he could have anything he could imagine in life, and all he had to do was ask for it. He now had a powerful friend who could provide anything, a friend like he ain't never had before. So, having said that, what I offer you is the opportunity to be just like Aladdin and actually consider that you ain't never had a friend like me. Never, never, never. And the reason why is because I'm the kind of friend that when you say to me that you want something, I relate to you like you can have it. So just like Aladdin's genie, I'm saying that you ain't never had a friend like me. You can have anything you want. I promise you, you can. I promise you, you can. All it requires is for you to relax, open your mind to receive, and take on the actions that are correlated to your commitment to have that thing. Okay, so here we are. We're talking about the science of yes. I'd like you to consider that focusing your energy in a positive way, that you can create and manifest positive results. And when you focus your energy in a negative way, that you're creating negative results. And that whether you believe it or not, the universe operates in universal laws on an individual level, and you live your life by those laws. For example, let's take on gravity for just a second. Gravity. You know what gravity is. Gravity is a universal law that you and I and everyone live their lives inside of without truly understanding it, unless you happen to be a scientist who does understand it. What goes up must come down. There is an influence of energy that pulls on you regardless of who you are and no matter what you believe. This universal law works for everyone just the same. You will come down no matter what, unless you do something to resist this invisible force, as we do when we fly in airplanes. Again, you may be somebody who thoroughly understands the science of what keeps airplanes airborne. The average everyday person doesn't truly understand and doesn't really need to. We know we can fly an aircraft, and we cannot jump off a roof and fly without one. Do you remember what it was like to learn how to ride a bicycle, to ice skate, to rollerblade? What did you have to learn in order to do that effectively? Balance is another universal law. It works for everyone the same. You live your life within the confines of the rules of these universal laws. Balance, gravity. Certain laws are just there. We don't necessarily fully understand them, but we live our life inside of them. If you focus your energy, meaning your thoughts, and your concentration on negative doom and gloom, you will remain under that. If you focus your energy on positive goals that make you happy and leave you empowered, then you take actions which correlate to these goals and commitments, you will achieve those goals every single time. No matter what, whatever you imagine and hold in your mind's eye is achievable if you structure, plan, and create milestones to get where you want to be. The key is to distinguish what you're committed to, and then you design structures that give you those actions that correlate to that commitment. You will produce the result every single time. You can bank on it. There's a quote that I love, which I always believed was from Albert Einstein, and I've used this quote in my coaching practice for years. I've since learned recently that this quote was not from Einstein. The quote apparently originated with a man named Bahar. Here's the quote. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. Now, what's remarkable to me as I relate to this quote is that the person, Bahar, who originated that quote, totally recognized this isn't woo-woo, okay? This is not something that's heady. It's a fact. Everything in life is energy, and everything resonates with energy. And if you want something and you want it bad enough, resonate with the energy that it's resonating with, and it's yours. It's not philosophy. It's physics. So I used to think that Einstein said that quote, and it blew my mind because Einstein is known, or at least related to, as one of the most intelligent men, one of the most scientific men that ever lived. And I thought him saying that really, really rocked me to the core, which is why I shared it so much. However, Einstein actually did say something just as profound as that. Einstein said, everyone who is seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man. To me, that quote is just as profound as the other one, because he's basically acknowledging, regardless of science, regardless of intelligence, there is something else at work here. Some law of the universe that is superior to the efforts and the thought patterns of man. Talk about respect. What Einstein is pointing to is this energy and saying it is vastly superior to anything man could come up with. So here's the thing. What I'm pointing to, what I'm talking about, what I'm getting across to you is that with the correct mindset and a healthy dose of the right attitude and a powerful connection to the right actions, the ordinary human being will accomplish extraordinary results by tapping into that powerful spirit that manages the universe. Think of it as the Force from Star Wars. You can create tangible actions based on your commitments, around your passion, and your dreams, resonating with this powerful energy that flows throughout our life, all of our lives. You have it. I have it. Everybody has it. We all have a connection to this infinite spirit energy that I call the science of yes. Therefore, a valuable part of what I provide are new practices and new habits that you can take on, which are proven effective coaching concepts, tools, and principles that help give people good things to think about and to create structures around and to take action on. You find out what works and you put that into learning, into everyday practice, and booyah, the science of yes. And that's all there is to it. It's not complicated. So I encourage you to give up what you think you know and to be open to receive. And you may be challenging your thought processes, and you may be holding on to off or negative conversations, but if you let them go, if you actually open your mind and your heart and your arms to receive, this could be a powerful tool for you to have everything you've always dreamed of and hoped for, but never thought you could have. It works. It did for me, and it will work for you. All you have to do is say yes. Yes, coaching is a very specialized kind of training, and it's designed to rearrange your molecules. You will be structuring specific actions to carry into your day-to-day life, specifically designed to produce particular results. And you're going to operate like the things you want and are striving for in life are a done deal. I gave up my negative thought patterns to achieve success, and I wanted to pay that forward. So for me, it was a state change. Some people say that life is like a bowl of chocolate. I say life is like a baseball game. Life is the pitcher, and you are up to bat. Picture this. Life is pitching balls at you, and you try to hit the ball. Life pretty much throws all kinds of pitches at you. Curveballs and fastballs and just ball after ball after ball. And you swing away. You've got no control over what life pitches at you. You have nothing to say about what life pitches at you. But let me tell you something. Dig this. You have everything to say about how you react to the balls that life tosses. So, are you going to be a yes? Are you going to be a no? See, that's what this is all about. Say yes. Not complicated. The science of yes is the access to eternal youth. So you don't need a mythical fountain to say yes. You don't need credit cards. You don't need to walk naked across hot coals. You don't need to do anything you don't want to do. You can put a stop to any conversation you've got going on in your head that you can't do this or you can't have that or you can't see this in your future. You can have anything you want. Just say yes. And let me start with this whole conversation around yes, distinguishing for you that I don't mean for you to eliminate the word no from your vocabulary. There are some appropriate times to say no. There are times when what there is to do is to put your left hand on your hip, swing your right arm back and forth with your index finger up and the rest of your fingers clenched into a fist. And you bob your head back and forth and you say with a snap, no. No. No is not a bad word. And yes isn't the right word. Even though I'm telling you to say yes, what I'm referring to is not what you are saying. It's like the action of speaking. It is who you are. It's why you are doing whatever it is that you are doing. Words are not the source of this. The intention of what you are doing is sourced by who you are being. Anything you want out of life, you can have it. Just say yes. That's it. It's simple. It's not complicated. So as we go about crafting this life of your dreams, what we're going to do is remold your life to be one of a positive mindset. No, 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 not positive thinking. This is not about what happens between your ears, in your head. And it's not about what you say to people or what you say to yourself. What this is about is about you being someone whose life revolves around being open and available to receive and who takes actions necessary to receive. And we don't go through the motions, those of us living in the science of yes. We don't fake it till we make it either. We take it on. Full tilt boogie. As my favorite celebrity Yoda says, there is no try. Do or do not. Now, I could tell you to say no. I could tell you to say no to stress and stress cause illnesses. I could tell you to say no to unemployment and being a victim of your circumstances. I could say no to emotional abuse and toxic relationships. I could tell you this, and I could call my process the things to say no to or the science of not being no. But I'm not going to do that. Why? Because one of the biggest lessons I'm going to teach you is to not affirm with your speaking what you do not want to have. Check it out. You don't go into a restaurant, sit down and pick up the menu and say to the server, first off, I don't want pancakes, so don't serve them to me. I hate pancakes. No pancakes for me. Are we clear about the pancake thing? Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? I mean, I hope not. You also wouldn't walk into your local Walmart or Target and call one of the sales associates over and say, don't you dare show me any clothes that are red with black polka dots. Don't do it. I don't like red with black polka dots. I don't want none of that. I don't particularly like blue with white polka dots either. And you know what? I don't like polka dots. I don't want you to show me any clothes with polka dots, so don't do it. I don't like that. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? Now, I hope not. That would be absurd, wouldn't it? It sounds silly. Why would you lead with what you don't want? You tell them what you want. You order it right up. So why not do that in every aspect of life? You say things like, I wish I had another life. I don't want this life. I wish I had another job. I don't want this job. I wish I had another car. I don't want this car. I don't want so-and-so to talk to me that way. I don't want that kind of man or woman. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Okay, I'd like you to consider that when you say out loud the things you don't want in your life, you're bringing attention to what you don't want and bringing energy to it with your speaking. Now, who cares what you don't want? Why would you need to establish what you don't want? One of the greatest lessons I teach all my clients is to be very careful what words come walking out of your mouth. The universe is listening. Saying out loud what you don't want and what you don't like and what you hate is bringing energy and intensity to something for which you have no interest. Now, can you imagine bringing that level of energy to what you want in life? That depth of intensity. Now, when you set out to produce results, there will be obstacles. It's easy to maintain a good attitude about things when everything's going well. But staying the course when things are not going your way takes willpower and commitment. And you want to start to develop things to do when you're not fully present to yes. Something didn't go your way, or maybe you're dealing with a disappointment in your life. What will help you get back on track? What do you do that you enjoy that will help you achieve more focus and put you in a good mood when things aren't going your way? For me, I often listen to uplifting music. I enjoy movie things like the theme to Rocky, or I'm particularly fond of the theme to Chariots of Fire. Some pop songs like Fight Song or any music from the Kirk Franklin albums. I also call people who are in a good space, and I'll talk to them when I'm not hanging it too well. Find out whatever it is that you need to do and do it. Perhaps you need a relaxing, powerful massage. Have you ever noticed that inner voice in your head? It keeps up this running commentary, like the Bloomberg ticker tape parade. Well, have you? This little inner voice telling you things aren't going to turn out. That inner critic that insists you look fat in that dress. That voice that says, it will never happen, or worse, it will never happen for you. You won't be able to be in the yes realm listening to your monkey mind. And that mindset and inner critic doesn't resolve issues in your life. That's not what it's for. The monkey mind is a Buddhist principle. It refers to the state of being unsettled, worried, or confused. The Buddha distinguished the human mind as being filled with drunken monkeys, flinging themselves about, jumping around, chattering nonstop. And if you could create this image of a bunch of screeching monkeys banging around in your head in nonstop, constant motion, you can get a clear-cut picture of what it's like up there. I tell my clients that your mind is a dangerous neighborhood to go in by yourself without a bodyguard. Your incessant mic chatter. We go along these lines. A continuous laundry list of things you have to do or someone else should be doing for you. All of your fears, concerns, and worries, including real and imaginary ones. Dredging up all the hurtful things done to you and said to you or said about you in the past. Judging and evaluating your present circumstances. Creating hysterical drama or what-if scenarios around your day-to-day situations. The monkey mind is a Buddhist principle that refers to the state of being unsettled, worried, or confused. You have a monkey mind. Welcome, monkey mind. How do you do? With the monkey mind, it's nearly impossible to stop and smell the roses. What you see And what you experience is the chaos that your mind is telling you, showing you, insisting to you that there is no hope, that this will never happen, that it can't possibly happen, that no one can have this happen in their life. Plus, negative energy affects your mood, and it makes you unhappy, restless, and anxious, and it hampers your ability to focus and concentrate. You cannot generate the power of yes when your monkey mind is insisting on no. Your monkey mind also impacts your behavior and your relationship with others. And when you don't have positive interactions with the people in your life, many times it's because you're listening to a choir of chattering monkeys in your head. You're not even listening to your friends and loved ones. There's a lot of ways to tame your monkey mind. One of the ways you can do it is by taking action on some things that I'm going to explain to you. But even if you think you have your monkey mind under control, I'd first like you to consider that you actually have a monkey mind. Most likely, if you're like the majority of people, up until this point, you basically have allowed your monkey mind to run buck wild. But now we're going to put an end to that, okay? Remember, you are the master of your mind. Your mind is not the master of you. So in managing your monkey mind, you're managing yourself. You are the one in control. Talk to your monkey mind when the noise level gets especially loud. Have you been in the supermarket or the airport lobby and seen some young child throw a horrific temper tantrum? And you saw them and looked over and clucked your teeth and shook your head and you thought to yourself about the helpless parent, wow. Wow, wow. Well, let me tell you something. Your monkey mind is like that child throwing a tantrum. Your monkey mind is just as unruly, just as out of control, and you are just as helpless. As a matter of fact, you're so out of control, and by the way, everyone can see that you're out of control, and you feel like you failed at something because you let your monkey mind word vomit all over everybody, and you feel like you can't control it. It might even feel like to you like it was necessary, and you're justified to be throwing a tantrum. You're only human after all. Well, you can actually calm your monkey mind into having a conversation with you, because most of the time, your monkey mind isn't calm. It's not calm at all. It's actually upset. There's some crazy upset thing that's got it going. What's the problem? Find out. Ask your monkey mind. Have it out. And let your monkey mind say everything it needs to say. Then once the monkey mind has said everything it needs to say, take a look and see. Is your monkey mind anxious to remind you of some task that needs to get done? Well, don't dismiss it out of hand. Your monkey mind is worried you'll forget and foresees that everything will fall apart and the world will come to an end. You can't dismiss or discard this. Remember Chicken Little? That story about the little chicken hit in the head with a pine nut and now thought that the falling nut was evidence that the sky was breaking apart and falling to earth? Convinced that the world was ending, he ran about creating havoc as he tried to explain to everyone that the end of the world was upon them. Panic, drama, and unnecessary complications. It was completely out of control for Chicken Little. Just stop for a moment and take the time to schedule whatever this item is to assure your monkey mind that there's nothing to worry about because it will get handled. Your monkey mind will often dwell in the worst-case scenario unless you assure it that you have everything under control, that it is getting handled. And that's all that your monkey mind wants to know. Is your monkey mind anxious or nervous about something about to happen? Or is your monkey mind concerned about something that's coming in the future that it thinks it is not being managed? First of all, let your monkey mind know that everything is going to be okay with confidence. walk through a worst-case scenario with your monkey mind, and come up with contingency plans that will assure success in any given situation. You have nothing to lose to establish solid plans that satisfy your monkey mind. It's all for you to maintain a blueprint for success in your life, and it will be a win-win situation for you and your monkey mind. Is your monkey mind complaining bitterly about a person in your life that has made out to be the villain? And your monkey mind is full of resentment over something that happened in the past around this person. So put a note to yourself to deal with this issue so your monkey mind can stop dredging it up. It's not going to stop on its own. It's going to constantly natter at you about this situation until you get it complete. Does your monkey mind want to vent? Your monkey mind needs to know that you are listening. Let your monkey mind air its grievances and concerns, and you will see the loud noises will start to fade. It just needs to be heard, and it refuses to be ignored. Another great practice for your monkey mind is journaling. If you check the back of any of the books that I've recommended in the past, you can find other books by other writers and authors. One of the books that I recommend a lot is The Artist's Way by Julian Campbell. The Artist's Way has this technique, this very powerful technique called morning pages, where you wake up in the morning and begin your morning from the get-go, putting pen to paper, and you do a dump of what's in your mind, and you're deliberate about it, and you're just stream of consciousness journaling everything that's in your head. During this journal time, write down everything you're thinking, everything you're feeling, and anything that has you worried. Do this for about 20 minutes first thing in the morning and then stop. When the time is up, your monkey mind needs to understand it's had its say for the rest of the day. And you will not pay attention to anything else until next day's journaling session starts. Then be your word. If your monkey mind starts screeching any time after this, ignore it. Refuse to give it attention to anything else and train your monkey mind that it can only generate, you know, what it has to say when you're journaling. It's important that your monkey mind understand the session's over for today. Wait until tomorrow's session and I'll listen to you then. And soon, if you continue this, your monkey mind will recognize when it can shake, rattle, and roll. And it's a waste of time to carry on a ruckus at any other time of the day because you won't pay attention. Meditating is also a very useful tool to calm and train your monkey mind. Training your mind to be silent is an excellent way to calm it down and have it be serene. The key to taming your monkey mind is to question the beliefs that the monkey mind is relying on to reach the conclusions it's communicating to you. So ask yourself these questions and then throw in the answers. Are people obligated always to act the way I want them to please me? No. I'm okay. They are okay. Just the way they are and just the way they are not. Is it realistic to believe things should always go my way? No. I can accept things the way they are and create visions for my commitments and how I want them to be in the future. Do I have to do it right every time? No. I can strive for excellence and hit my target every time. However, if I strive to be perfect, I will never realize my goals because there is no such thing as perfect. If what your monkey mind is relying on is misguided belief to justify temper tantrums, fretting, and worries, sooner or later, it's going to end the tirade because it has nowhere to turn to air its complaints. So you've effectively let the monkey mind air out of its balloon. It will have no choice but to pipe down because it has no fuel. Haven't you heard the line in a movie, "Stop thinking. I don't give you enough information to think." Or, "Don't grow a brain. Just do what I say." You know, Pablo Picasso once made this statement to the effect that life would be better if we pulled out our brains and used only our eyes to see. Now, that image itself is rather grotesque, like that song, "Eyes Without a Face." Whoa, I've always thought that was a freaky proposition. But wait a moment, let's just reflect on what he meant by that. So if we turn off our brains and just use our senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, and utilize those senses to take in everything going on around you without interpretation, measurement, or comparison, you may begin to see things more clearly, so much more so than previously, and your monkey mind would have no input because you literally turned your brain off. You can also try affirmations, reading and saying out loud positive phrases and sentences, either to yourself or to others, creates the effect like shaking your head with your fingers and your ears going, la, 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 la. And your monkey mind dances around your head, screaming hysterically, can't get through because you're not letting it. Keeping your mind occupied, like reading a book, watching a movie, or writing in a journal, is another good way to train your monkey mind to be still. And you may notice that your monkey mind tends to get quiet when your mind engages with something else that's absorbing it. Calming your mind takes practice, but if you keep it up, the benefits outweigh the work you put in. Consistent practice gives you the peace of mind and power over your monkey mind. So, surround yourself with positive people. If the people in your life are naysayers who are constantly berating you and telling you that you won't amount to much, then you have some serious work to do to get some positive people in your life. They are out there. Find them. Seek them out. Seek out the kind of people who believe in you and will support and empower you when you need it the most. And you can go to networking events in your city and reach out on your social media for like-minded individuals. It's not that complicated. Listen, I'm not Mary Poppins. I have bad days and negative thoughts just like everybody else. I've been beaten by my significant other and put in the hospital. I bought my dream home and lost it to foreclosure. I've been homeless. I've lived in my car because I had nowhere else to go. But through all those experiences, I have learned that when I can focus on resolving whatever issue is in front of me and shift into positive action, things get better and I succeed. So let's succeed together. Let's begin with your life where you are currently. So next week when I have my show, next week is we're skipping because I have a speaking engagement in another city. So there will be no podcast next Thursday. So the following Thursday, when I have my show, we're actually going to start talking about the different aspects of the science of yes in your life. And we're going to tackle your home life. We're going to actually talk about what it is to have your home environment resonate with the energy of yes. So once again, this is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. And I am going to be here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we will be going over and speaking to you about the science of yes. Once in a while, we'll have a guest speaker on, and they will join us and speak about the yes energy and their relationship to yes energy. And I would love to have you call in and interact with you and speak to you about how you can bring yes energy to your life, how your life can be given by the science of yes. So again, on next week, which is going to be January 8th, we do not have a call, but next week is January 9th, pardon me. The following week, which will be January 16th, that Thursday night will be our second broadcast at this new time and this new hour. So Thursdays is the new time. Thursday nights at 7 p.m., we will be having the Science of Yes. Every week, unless I tell you that it's not going to be on and it's not going to be on next week, we're going to be talking about the Science of Yes, and you are welcome to call in. When you call in with a question about an area of your life that you would like to bring the science of yes to. This is Pam Heath. I am the Yes Coach, and I am fully, fully excited and engaged and ready to take you and your life on in the science of yes. Thank you. Good night, and see you next time.